morning. Officials from the department, from the ministry, from parliament, members from public, the TV is disturbing us here because we are a quiet committee and everything we do it under the waters. And nothing gets to be seen. Maybe he knows something we don't know. We had a very wonderful debate. Trusting that as this was our first debate, we all are learning from each other. What is interesting also about our debate is that whilst we are all taking it easy here in the committee, getting to understand each other and understanding issues themselves. You know, when you go out there in the debate, you then get to see the other side of what is not here in the committee, and what is not being deliberated in the committee. I guess from the nature of politics. We shall have to leave with that. Welcome back again after that wonderful debate. Mom, come on up. Oh. Maybe we should rearrange our discussions here. Because we seem to be having a free for all. If it is all possible that I see the officials, you know, didn't waste any time to just occupy the front benches. Why don't we all come in front, Mama, so that we all and other members let's have all members sit in front, if that is fine with you. I'm sure there are a few that... are you fine, Mr. Mama?
Yes.
Are you okay? See that way, huh? Mm-hmm. You can let us sit here. I don't understand. They understand. Now, the Babu Kala. Babu Kala, you must feel that I'm a simba. And also, you also want to be seen, and you also want to. Thanks for that. We have a very straightforward agenda, members. And we did receive that, and also trusting that we did receive your information ahead of time. We did insist on receiving our information at least a week in advance. And having said so, we basically we assume that we have gone through our presentation in preparation for our meeting today, and we do have minutes as well. I see here that we also have a report by Human Rights on water and sanitation. I'm sure that is more for us to consume as we prepare ourselves for these meetings and other meetings. Beyond our meeting of today, we are in the know that there is a summit coming weekend that we've all been invited to by the Department on Water and Sanitation taking place in Boksburg. I do know for a fact that a number of members, in fact, say for one, all the other members, 11 of them, have since accepted the invitation. It's an important invitation, an important session rather, because it also opens up our understanding of the sector that we are in. As we mentioned that as we begin this process, you know, we want to be really hitting, you know, the ground running. We have a few policies. One of the two is on leave, minister or the deputy minister, I can't remember. And another one is on sick leave. We always insist, members, that any apology must be in writing, regardless of who you are. We have certain examples here. We do have an apology from deputy minister in writing. And she is off, ill, she is sick, as it were. And then the minister is has taken leave, as it were. Mr. Mpontane is coming late due to the fact that he's attending Chibuk's home meeting that ends at 11 o'clock. So he shall join us later on. As for our agenda today, one is the briefing by the Department on the Presidential Proclamation.
We have a verbal apology. Mr. Mguni was here, but he can't make it due to the personal way of his sister. So he just left now because he feels that he's unable. Thank you.
I forgot to mention my apologies. One of our members has just had a bereavement only last night. We were sitting in some meeting yesterday, myself, himself, and two other people, when the news broke out for him that his sister passed on last night. I saw him coming through. I totally forgot about his situation, so he couldn't come and fit. So his apology is well taken. Thanks for that. Members, without waste of time, the item for the agenda, one is the briefing by the Department on the Presidential Proclamation, number 43. And the second item on the agenda is consideration and adoption of the minutes. And then, of course, announcements shall take into account some of the logistical arrangements for the summit taking place the coming weekend. How we find that? Without waste of time, we shall allow the department to take us through.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, thank you very much. If I could, Chair, with your permission, just introduce the members of my team, if that's permissible. I don't want to take unnecessary time, but I'm Trevor Balser, Acting DG for the Department. Next to me, I've got Sam Moy from our organizational management support. And on my right, Shoki Moto, who manages the parliamentary aspects of my office. I've also got with me representatives from Department of Human Settlements, Mbulela Changana, sitting. I think if you need to put up your hands with my back towards you, I can't see you. Mr. Philip Chowkey from Human Settlements as well. Cyprian Mazubana from Human Settlements. Then I've also got a contingent from the Minister's Office, both Minister and Deputy Minister, Colin Pizzo, Sanele Zongi, Kamisa Obongwana, Togozani Norushu, Tere Mwema, and Joy Tadra. I trust they've been determined on to see if they're putting up their names. And also from National Treasury, Rika Rida from National Treasury, Chair. Yes, thank you. Chair, I'm assuming you've got it on your screen in front of you. If I do have to point, I will just help with the pointing from this side on the... Yeah, okay. Thanks. But the presentation, I will go through it, Chair. Presentation outline, I have it in front there, through to 27 slides which I'll be using, just giving an introduction, the Presidential Proclamation, the MOS process and the NMOS acronym standing for the National Macro Organization of the State Process, the fourth part, the sanitation function, five, the implementation progress, six, risks and mitigation, and then I will do a concluding paragraph. Just by way of introduction, the establishment of the new department started with the announcement by the President, His Honourable President, on the 25th of May, when he introduced a number of changes to the previous configuration of the National Executive and the departments, and that was done in terms of Section 91(2) and 93(1) of the Constitution. That announcement had a direct impact on the structure, support of ministers and deputy ministers. New departments were created, with some with the transfer functions between departments to give effect to government's mandate for the efficient delivery. And that impacted in particular on my department as a new department of water and sanitation. So for the Department of Water Affairs, the functional content of the departments will change to reflect that new ministerial portfolio, and that's mainly with the transfer of the sanitation function from the Department of Human Settlements, which we will abbreviate going forward as DHS, and we'll abbreviate some of the slides, my department, as DWS, to form the Department of Water and Sanitation. Now, Honourable Chair, you'll recall when we did the presentation in preparation for the budget debate at that stage, we still were referring ourselves to as the Department of Water Affairs, because we didn't have a proclamation which changed our name. That in fact changed on the 8th of July with the Presidential Proclamation number 43 of 2004, which paved the way for the establishment of various departments in support of the new ministerial portfolios. And I trust, Honourable Chair, that you have access to that proclamation. There's a listing of all the new names of the departments and the names that are attached to the head of departments as well. So that includes the establishment of the Department of Water and Sanitation, which I will abbreviate going forward as EWS. The Department of Water and Sanitation thus incorporates the mandates of the Department of Water Affairs and the sanitation function, which will be transferred from the Department of Human Settlements. And that transfer of the sanitation function, Honourable Chair and members, is facilitated through a National Macro Organization of the States, the NMOS program, which is coordinated by the Department of Public Service and Administration, and National Treasury, and led by the Presidency. So there's a National Steering Committee, which is chaired by the DG in the Presidency, Dr. Cassius Lubisi, and then there's a National Task Team, which is chaired by one of the DDGs in the DPSA, from the DPSA, Mr. Kenny Govender. And then on our, and I'll come to our structure in a moment, so the terms of reference for that MOS, as first of all, describes the program of action needed to ensure that the macro organization changes give administrative effect to the President's new cabinet portfolios. Secondly, ensures alignment between the announcements of ministerial portfolios and the administrative structures in support of the ministers, and it sets out the roles and functions of the primary role players governing and contributing to that rollout of the NMOS. First of all, the governance structures, which is the National Steering Committee, as I mentioned, chaired by Dr. Cassius Levisi, the National the National Project Team. I'm caught out by acronyms as well, my apology, to the National Project Team, which is chaired by DDG Kenny Governor from DPSA, and then the DBT, which is the Departmental Project Team, which I chair, and on that team we have representation from National Treasury and DPSA. Then of course the stakeholders, the labour, the entity, the departments, and then thirdly the support staff. The NMOS legal aspects, the public service regulations, if a minister or a premier of the province makes a determination regarding the transfer of function between departments, and we just make reference to that particular chapter of the PSR, which eventually a determination will come out once we've finished our work, which will legally transfer the functions performed by human settlements currently to the Department of Water and Sanitation. So the relinquishing department shall transfer all concomitant resources, including personnel, to the receiving department, and the recipient department then will coordinate the transfer. Thus you see that I, as a DG or acting DG for Water and Sanitation, lead the departmental transfer task team. The recipient department will also accept accountability for the functions on the date of transfer, and I'll come to the program in a moment. The accounting officer of the relinquishing department shall retain accountability for matters originating prior to the date of transfer, and the transfer of personnel shall take place with due regard to the requirements of the Labour Relations Act, and the transfer of funds shall take place in accordance with the requirements of paragraph 6.5 of the Treasury Regulations. So thus, the need for us to have both DPSA and National Treasury as part of our task team to make sure that we are complying with those requirements in terms of the legislation. We have a governance structure which I've described, indicating the National Steering Committee for the members sitting behind me, the National Steering Committee at the top of the DG Presidency, and the permanent members of that steering committee, the project team under the DDG governance in DPSA, and then the National Task Team, which there will be a task team set up for each department which is affected by the changes in terms of the announcement made by the His Excellency the President. And under those task teams we have five work streams. Work streams 1, 3 to 6, sorry, we have 6 work streams. One dealing with organizational scoping and HR self-audit, another one dealing with infrastructure and assets, Workstream 3, finance and budgets, Workstream 5, ICT systems, Workstream 5, legal and policy matters, Workstream 6, dealing with labour, change management and communications. So that's a common structure, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, which is set up for each department which are affected by the change to the configuration of ministers and departments. So the National Steering Committee, I have to a large extent covered that in my introduction. The functions of that steering committee are firstly to implement the mandate of government as determined by the President and the Cabinet. Secondly, the overall management of the NMOS program. Thirdly, to provide overall guidance pertaining to issues that might emerge from time to time. So that steering committee becomes a clearing house for any issues, cross-cutting issues, which we might not be able to resolve at any one of the task team level meetings, such as to troubleshoot any ambiguity in the interpretation of the political decisions and the legal mandates, and then refer back to political principles if necessary. The fifth responsibility is unblocking obstacles that may emerge during the rollout of the program in line with the department. Sixth, to receive progress reports from the National Project Team on the work done on the NPT and the DBTs. I must just indicate that the National Project Team meets on a fortnightly basis, and the Departmental Project Team meets on a weekly basis. So we roll up our reporting and our progress from our weekly meetings into the fortnightly meeting of the national team, and that rolls up into a monthly meeting, which is the steering committee. Seventh item is to ensure quality assurance of final products and reports for decision-making by political office bearers, and then to act as a high-level forum for consultation of affected departments and to support those departments. The national project team, I've given the composition already there, just to reiterate again that it's led by DDG from EPSA, Mr. Kenny Govender, and the functions are the overall management of the reconfiguration process at the departmental level, oversee the implementation of domesticated work plans. Each task team has had to set up their own work plan for each derived from the generic work plan which was given to us by the national task team. To provide regular progress reports, render support and advice to the DPGs, ensure quality assurance of the products and the reports, unblock obstacles, act as a forum for consultation, and then to integrate the product of the DPGs before submission to the NMOS Secretariat. The departmental team, on the other hand, that's the team which I chair, as the receiving department, so the way it's set up is that the head of department of the receiving department acts as chair, but then the departmental work streams are supported by members, officials from both the receiving and the relinquishing departments, as well as DPSA and National Treasury. The overall functions, overall management of the different departmental work stream, implement our domesticated work plan, provide regular progress to the national team, ensure quality assurance, unlock obstacles, act as a forum for consultation, integrate the product of work streams, and the DPTs must render their own secretariat services, and that's rendered by my department, and we maintain minutes of all of our meetings, and ensure that the DG, stroke HOD, the recipient and relinquishing departments sign off on progress report. So, Honourable Chair members, the progress report that comes up at our weekly meetings and goes to the national team is signed off by both departments, and it's a joint presentation that is made at the national team level. Just in terms of the reporting protocol which is in place, the DPSA is responsible for the overall product management, that's the secretariat in support of the NMOS program, and the channels report to National Steering Committee via the DG of the DPSA. So the DG of the DPSA is one of the members on the steering committee, and he reports on behalf of the overall project. The NMOS project team and secretariat in consultation with the steering committee determine the schedule of meetings for purpose of enabling the NPT to provide progress reports, and then also to sequence and schedule own meetings and reporting arrangements. Those meetings, as I've already indicated before, take place on a fortnightly basis every Friday. So every second Friday those meetings take place, and a generic project plan and template for reporting was developed by the national team, and we've had to then develop our own project-specific work plan. So the EPT sequence and schedule, their own meetings and reporting arrangements will be aligned to those of the national project team. Just in terms of timelines, and Chair, you will recall, and members, honourable members, that when we did our presentation of the APP, in one of my slides, I did indicate the broad program that we're working towards, and the program we established the governance structures on the 13th of June, and you'll see that there are four activities which are already done, the status done, that's the establishment of the governance structures, preparation of the program for execution by the work schemes, transfer of administration of legislation to ministers, and the creation of departments and the transfer of functions. So the last one is the proclamation which is issued on the 8th of July, and then the legislation to be transferred to ministers. In our case, there was no legislation that needed to be transferred, as the regulatory legislation with regard to water and sanitation services was already with the Department of Water Affairs at that time, and there was no need for any transfer there. The organizational structuring of affected departments, that has to be completed by 26 September. We're on schedule there. The infrastructure and assets, 29 August, also on schedule. Finance and budgets, 26 September, that's on schedule. ICT systems, target date, 29 August, we're on schedule. Legal matters, 26 September, on schedule. And then the change management and communication is an ongoing aspect, that's communication into both the receiving and the relinquishing departments, dealing with the change management issues with staff to be transferred, and also engagement at a departmental level with the relevant bargaining chamber. Let me then, Chair, just touch on the sanitation mandate and the function. First of all, the mandate, which comes primarily from the Constitution, that's our Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act No. 108 of 1996, Section 10. First of all, every person has inherent dignity and the right to have their dignity respected and protected. Section 24A in particular, everyone has a right to an environment that is not harmful to their health or well-being. Then in terms of the National Water Act, which we abbreviate as the NWA, and Water Services Act, the WSA abbreviated, are the primary legal instruments relating to accessibility and provision of water services, which include drinking water and sanitation services. The Water Services Act in particular, Act 108 of 1997, and in particular Section 3.1.2.3.3 deals with the right of access to basic water supply and basic sanitation. And I'll read those four parts which are relevant. Everyone has a right to access basic water supply and basic sanitation. Every water services institution must take responsibility for measures to realize these rights. Now, those water services institutions, and in the next paragraph, every water service authority must, in the water services development plan, provide for measures to realize these rights. Now, those water services authorities that we refer to there is local government in essence. And the rights mentioned in this section are subject to the limitations contained in this Act. So, going back to the Constitution, we must also make reference to Schedule 4 of the Constitution, which sets out the responsibilities of local government. In terms of the Water Services Act, it's the responsibility of the Water Services Authority, it's local government, to ensure access to both water supply services and basic sanitation. So we make reference there to that in terms of the Water Services Act, but you'll also see that in Section 4 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The current overview of the sanitation program, and this is per our engagements with the Department of Human Settlements, referenced there as DHS, as the relinquishing department, the sanitation function, relinquishing a sanitation function to the Department of Water Affairs, after which it will eventually translate into the Department of Water and Sanitation. Well, that naming has already been done, so we are the Water Department of Water and Sanitation, but without that sanitation function which we are busy transferring. But I must point out, Honourable Chair and members, that while we are in the process of transferring the function, that sanitation function carries on operating. It hasn't come to a standstill. So the Department of Human Settlements, which with the mandate they had or have prior to the actual physical transfer of that function, they carry on delivering sanitation services. So there should be a seamless process of getting that function moving from Department of Human Settlements to the department. So the function within Human Settlements is performed at the chief director level, which they refer to as the National Sanitation Program, and it has seven key functional outputs. First of all, it's the implementation of the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, which they refer to as RIG, R-H-I-G, the implementation of the Bucket Eradication Program, which we commonly refer to as our BEP, supporting municipalities on the implementation of the sanitation programs funded by Municipal Infrastructure Grant, supporting municipalities on health and hygiene advocacy, mainstreaming sanitation in the IDPs, including council induction. A white paper on sanitation has been developed, and Department of Water and Sanitation will handle the approval process and the finalization process of that white paper. Then, of course, it's meeting the MDG targets on sanitation. RS has got to meet the country target in terms of universal access. I wanted just to make a statement. If I could just go back one slide, Chair, and if you just, with reference to the mainstreaming of sanitation in the IDPs, you'll see in Roman bullet 3 there, under the Water Services Act, every water service authority must, in its water services development plan, provide for measures to realize these rights. Now, the Water Services Development Plan is a chapter of the IDP, and that's where we have that cross-linkage of our Act going into the requirements of the Municipal Systems Act. The sanitation function, we've just given there a high-level indication of the way the function is operating within the Department of Human Settlements currently. So it falls under a branch program management unit. There's a CD, it's a Chief Director of National Sanitation Program, and it's got four main activities: directed sanitation, admin and coordination, sanitation program supports, sanitation interdepartmental coordination, and then the programs of regional operations. So currently the sanitation program, as it's implemented, through regional operations which are established in all nine provinces. So the sanitation unit I've just described, that sort of operates across all nine provinces at the sub-directorate level. Chair, then coming to some of the budget items, and these are items which will eventually be handled through the adjustment appropriation as it takes place once we have the determination made towards the end of September this year, and we've listed the budget. This you will find in the Estimates of National Expenditure, the ENE, for the Department of Human Settlements. The budget set aside for compensation of employees, $38.2 million. Budget set aside for goods and services, $52.5 million. And for capital assets, $684,000, giving a total budget of $91.487 million. And that's reflected in terms of the economic classification out of the ENE. Expenditure to date, and that's up to 31 May 2014, the two-month expenditure was $6 million, and the remaining budget from 31 May, well, that would be from the 1st of June through to the end of financial, is $85.3 million. Now, Honourable Chair, as I indicated, sanitation function carries on, so by time that function is transferred to the department, while the budget, the full budget gets transferred through the appropriation, adjustment appropriation at the, towards the end of September, the money that we'll actually have available to us will be whatever is spent up until that point in time out of the $85 million. Then looking at the budget that's been set aside from the for the bucket eradication program, we've given you a breakdown there of the ring-fenced budget that has been set aside, Chair, and the breakdown per province. So that breakdown per province is based on the population of buckets within those provinces, and the estimates that have been prepared for us by the implementing agents. And those implementing agents operating on behalf of human settlements, in some instances we're using our water boards as implementing agents, in other cases as VISA, as well as two of the entities which operate entities of the Department of Human Settlements, that is NERSHA and the Housing Development Agency, DHA. So the total budget that we're looking at over a 2-year period is a budget of $877,899.177 million for the current year, and in the 2015-16 year, R975,399,000. And the target in terms of delivery are 30,000 units during the current year and 32,000 units during the 2015-16 financial year. And at the bottom there, we just indicate the number of toilets delivered through RIG already in the 13-14 year, 28,146, and the bucket 6,000, which have been replaced up until the 31st of March 2014. then the capital budget allocation coming out of the RIB grants, we show the breakdown by province for 14-15 and 15-16, giving us a total of 113 million during the current financial year, targeting 3,700 units, 118 million in the 2015-16 year, targeting 3,900 units. And that's the rural household infrastructure grant. Now, the scope of work for the implementation progress is the establishment of the departmental team to manage the overall work, manage the transfer of the sanitation function to the Department of from Human Settlements to the to Department of Water and Sanitation, and then a review of the functional content of the department to give effect to this ministerial portfolio. And Minister Mokonyane has, in her presentation to this portfolio committee, made the point very clearly that it's a new Department of Water and Sanitation that is being established. So we're looking at the organizational structure for the department in terms of that that mandate, and rejigging some of the other functions, not only the sanitation function, to give effect to that new department that has been established. Chair, we then go through to the progress on each of the milestones around the work of the various work streams in terms of the establishment of the departmental project TOS team. That progress is that on 9th of June, National Steering Committee was established, and we've established our DPT chair by myself, and established six work streams with membership from both departments. With regard to organizational staffing and audit, the work stream 2 and organizational design, the progress there is the analysis of the function and designing of the organizational structure is underway, and in fact we've presented chair a first draft to Minister Mokonyane for consideration, and once we've concluded our discussions there, we'll then share that proposed organizational structure with yourself. We've also identified that there are 99 posts at the Department of Human Settlements, of which 67 are filled, relating to that sanitation function, which needs to be transferred. The employees will be transferred once the entire admin process is completed, and the audit of personnel files is currently underway. And I must just point out, Chair, that the transfer of that staff will be done in such a way, under the guidance of the Department of Public Service and Administration, to ensure that no staff member is negatively impacted on by the transfer from Human Settlements as the relinquishing department to Water and Sanitation as the receiving department. Workstream 3, which is the infrastructure and assets, the audit of the capital assets for 2013 was finalized as part of the current audit process. That's the audit, the regularity audit that was performed by the AG on the Department of Human Settlements. So we've got that baseline information up until the 31st of March 2014, and we are now doing the audit and analysis of the asset register to do the verification of the assets, which will commence from 10 August. And that's on the basis of work that has been done from the 1st of April through to date, and to that point when the assets are transferred to the office. We are also currently working on the determination of office accommodation and parking requirements as part of those assets that need to be transferred. On the finance and budget side, I've already touched on the budget that was published in the E&E documents. I've also given a summary of the budgets that have been set aside for the BEP, the Budget Eradication Program, and the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant Program. And we are in discussion through the task team, the departmental task team, identifying any other financial related implications. So that's work that is in progress. In terms of ICT systems, which is Workstream 5, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, which was the milestone there, gather information on ICT, analyse ICT assets and ring fence for transfer. That audit of assets is being undertaken and is nearing completion, but we're on target of that. That would cover the data systems that are used, the hardware in terms of the servers which are being used, the laptops, the desktops, and any other ICT-related aspects which will be ring-fenced for transfer from one department to the other. The sixth aspect we'll be dealing with is the legal and policy matters, and that's conducting an audit of all legal instruments guiding the service delivery. We have already been provided with a list of all contracts relating to sanitation services, and we're just now compiling and doing the compilation has been done. We're doing the due diligence which is being performed on those contracts. We also have in place a draft transfer agreement which will be finalized once all of the work of the work streams has been completed, and it will be taken into that transfer agreement with the necessary annexures, which will then be signed off by the two heads of Department of Human Settlements and Water and Sanitation. The last work stream, Chair, relates to labour relations, change management and communication. And I must just indicate, and I did in the introductory statements I made, that DPSA is managing the engagement of labour at a high level. That would be through the DPSSDC, and at the departmental level and the general internal communications, that's gone out to employees and the consultation with labour through our own bargaining chamber has also commenced. And over and above that, Chair, we also have in-house communication which goes out through our respective departments through the in-house weekly bulletins that the departments issue. We've identified some risks, Chair. At the moment, we don't see any of those risks. Although we've identified those risks, we don't see that they will be problems because we have mitigation measures in place, and we do believe that the teamwork that is taking place at the departmental level and cascading through to the national project team and through to the steering committee, that those risks will be mitigated. So the first one is the transfer staff function and budget. The mitigation measures there is ensure that the staff transfer smooth, budget transfer done with National Treasury, and program management in terms of BEP and REAP are unhindered. And I've already mentioned that the program is continuing in a seamless way while we deal with the transfer. Lack of operation and maintenance budgets, this really deals with an increasing backlog in terms of poor or aging infrastructure in receiving municipalities, or those municipalities which we are doing the bucket eradication, or where we're doing the regional household sanitation, rural household sanitation. So we will continue to engage with National Treasury in establishing an ONIUM budget, an ONIUM ring-fence budget for the function. Of course, meeting the universal targets for the backlog, with increasing population without adequate sanitation and the possible impact of disease outbreak. And this relates also to the continual migration that you've got between the cities and where you have new informal settlements being established. So between the municipalities, corporate governance, National Treasury, we'll work towards ring-fencing that sanitation budget within NIC and to engage with regarding to possible increasing of allocations. Bulk infrastructure being inadequate, that's to deal with the waterborne sanitation to households and the contamination of water resources, but also the mitigation measures there on increased budget allocation for bulk infrastructure. But Chair, you will recall when we presented our own budget to the Portfolio Committee that we did indicate the increased budgets on the two grants, the regional bulk infrastructure grants, and there's some allocation there for bulk sanitation infrastructure. Likewise with the MWI, the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grants, and the program, the interdepartmental program, ACIP, the Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program. And those will all be consolidated in terms of dealing with bulk infrastructure for sanitation. In conclusion, Chair, I do believe that there is sufficient support and collaboration from DPSA, National Treasury, towards the NMOS process at the departmental project team level and at the national project team level, and that the work streams from both departments have sound working relationships on implementing such joint work streams, plans that yield fruitful results on a regular basis. And Chair, thank you. That really covers the work that those teams are doing in the transfer. Thank you very much.
Member, that is a straightforward report. It's really an administrative exercise. It's a legal requirement. There are administrative processes you followed. And not knowing whether we have any issues to raise. That is open. Unless this is a sign that says silence means consent. I'm calm.
Ngibonge mhlali, ngibonge futhi naye umsonsholo phambi kwethu osithulelayo. Mina okwami nje ngiyayibonge bekothi inhle imnandi mawubheka inethemba. Kodwa ebengingacela ukuthi ungagcini kukhulunywa kamnandi njengoba kukhulumeka lana kukhombisa nempela ngoba ikhothala mayethi abantu banelungelo lokuthi bathole amathoyilethi a-right noma amanzi a-right. Futhi kwenzeke ngempela ngempela ukuthi kubonakale. Eyi, bonga kakhulu, bonga namhlanje waleli komiti ukuthi khona la ubona khona ukuthi kubalulekile kuyiwe kubantu. Mina bengicabanga ukuthi nje ngokwami angazi bengenzeka kanjani ngempela siphume siye kubantu ngoba khona njengoba sikhuluma ngengqalasizinda. Khona bangakazi babinawo ngempela kwanto engqalasizinda. Bese kuba khona laba abanye abantu. Bese ngifuna ukwazi kumbuzo womncalazi ophendulela ubani. Ukuthi yini kudala ukuthi inkontraki kade esinikeze umsebenzi ayifakishwa phakathi. Ithi ingaqedile umsebenzi. Kodwa ukhona lo muntu lona obizwa ngokuthi u-liaison officer lona osemphakathini. Bese bakhona lo muntu lona okuthunjini ebusuka kamasipala. Kodwa akayinele le mali le. Yayizolonza ukuthi ayitholi imali yale nto yomsebenzi ezikuwenziwa uqede engawuqedile. Ngibonge futhi nokuthi niyazibheka ukuthi ngempela abantu bayakwabala nanemjondolo iyanga. Ake sibhekeni ngempela ukuthi sizoyilungisa kanjani kuleyo nto nanokuthi-ke lakake sebebadala khona buyiwele khona. Bese kubona uqoba sukume sihambe bayoyibhela le ndawo ilungiswe ngempela izinto. Ayisobonga-ke nathi siyilani ukuthi hayi izinto ihamba kahle.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Personally, I feel that the report is very good. I'm grateful about the report. But what I would like to touch on is the issue of the human rights, that human beings should be given clean water. And also, I would request that the committee and the guys from the department, we should go to the communities and see very well what is happening there. And also, the issue of the infrastructure is very important. We need to make sure that infrastructure is there. One question that I would like to ask is, why does it happen that sometimes there are contractors who have even some job to do, but they are paid before the work is completed? I would appreciate if ever all this is done. I am glad that the report is promising that services pertaining to water will be given to people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and also the presentation that has been done. Well, it might be the question of clarity and convincing that the transfer of that water and I mean that sanitation to our department It's about the ozone, the movement of staff to another department. When it comes to operation and maintenance, as we all believe that the infrastructure in municipalities is very, very old in some municipalities. I don't know what disturbance that may be caused when, I mean, these changes are taking place, because currently if you go even, I mean, to towns, municipalities are getting the grants from the department. But only to find that the maintenance, I'm not getting convinced how we're going to deal with the aging infrastructure in municipalities. Two, is it possible that the department can provide the names of those districts that are affected by the bucket system? Because here I'm getting it's a figure that so much, but if you say the state or you, there's so much in the province, but for close monitoring and see whether these 6,000 that has been said here has been done, is better if you know which towns are affected by this. I know it may take time because we're talking of their country, but at least a picture for me to know if I have the responsibility of monitoring and override. Thank you.
Thank you. We welcome the presentation and hope that the departments will work with the changes speedily so that they should not stop the project that are on process. We know that they have experience on this shifting, because so a sanitation was at water and went to commence settlement, now it's coming back. So it won't take long to maybe to deal with issues. What we request is that those projects that have been started should not stop about the because of the movement. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. We want to request the department with regards to the transfer of staff. There's often a problem which relates to attention when homebodies are transferred from one department to another. We are raising this issue because WaterShaf has had an experience. When they transfer staff from the Department of Public Affairs to municipalities, I think it's a process that happened some 3 or 4 years ago. There was a problem of those employees being received from municipalities, and their benefits took time to reach them where they are. I think as I'm speaking, even now, some of their pensions have not been transferred to municipalities. So we want to request the department to have a proper mechanism on the ground so that this transfer does not hamper service delivery. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. We appreciate the quick way the department has handled the, you know, the transference and the bringing together of these two components. However, Chair, there is a problem with 6.3, as I'm concerned, because every year we hear that the funds that were made available are returned from the provinces. And so we would like to get a reassurance that the MIG funds will definitely be utilized and they will not be sent back to the national province. The second one, Chair, is about the issue of the workers. We are aware, just like the other gentleman has already said it, that it will take time, not about the legal outstanding cases that are also a huge problem when it comes to their sense of completion, because they go on and on and on, and I think that in itself makes everyone very miserable. Thirdly, Chair, we want to find out as a GA whether there is any chance that we could have these outstanding areas that have a bucket system, because sometimes we hear the funds have come back, the Minister of Human Settlement has not used or utilized all the funds, just like now. I think there's about 132 million. Can those funds, since they were under the Human Settlement Ministry, can they now also be sent back to water so that we can utilize them? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just one question. I would like the department to see whether we cannot discuss this with National Treasury as well, that the MIG funds can be utilized for old infrastructure, where we've got old infrastructure in places where we get high water losses, where we cannot change the MIG funds where it's been allocated for new projects, utilize that funds as well, register the project to replace old infrastructure. I just would like to have a comment on that. Thank you.
Members of Parliament, being members of Parliament, shall never be confined to any specific brief as said. The purpose of the exercise was very simple and straightforward. To brief the committee on a transition from human settlements, taking away the function and all what it takes of sanitation component of that department, to water, which is now proclaimed as water and sanitation department. That is the only purpose of the exercise. Nothing more and nothing less. But members of Parliament, being members of Parliament, shall always have to find every other reason to raise any other issue. Of course, very relevant, I must point that one out. Still very relevant. All the issues, without an exception, are relevant to the issues that we are about. As to the timing of such, that is the pertinent question that we are to deal with. But I must equally mention, members of Parliament, that our department officials are forever ready to respond to any of the questions that are raised by any member of Parliament. Precisely because they are leaving these functions and the duties on a day-to-day basis. That's what they do daily. So whatever any other question that is being raised will forever be getting a response, as is going to happen very soon. The only area that one, I'll really plead with us members here. To an extent, you know, when officials come here and also the public comes here, precisely because we're dealing with very, very sensitive areas of water, which is a basic human right enshrined in our Bill of Rights, Section 37. And also that they're dealing with the sanitation being a matter that talks loudly about dignity of our people. I don't mind if members would be introducing themselves all the time as coming from this party or the party. But I can imagine what that could, what do they call it? Unintended consequences. And there are never any bad unintended consequences. But also it raises a question to anybody else who's listening, and also even among members themselves. Any issue? Oh, now that is a GA question. You know how meetings can be so to the point of what they are about at that point in time, and there are no other proofs out there. No. That was an issue raised by Jay. Even if it was relevant, you know, another member. I disagree with that issue. Yet the issue is relevant, but because it was raised, and the name of the party is now mentioned, you know, like, you know, other parties, they would mention the first, but no, objection to every objection to any issue. It just happened. Now, that's what we're trying to do at committee level. So that we are able to focus on what we are here to do. Debates are fine out there whenever we find time debating all of those issues. So that's what we do best as also members. But what is most important, this being an extension of parliament, equally important for us is to just focus on what we're supposed to do and do it to the best of our ability. The issues, as I mentioned, are straightforward. You're dealing with the transfer of a function and all what it takes, budget. You're dealing here with a budget of what, 899 million? Just a bit.
91 million is the operational budget, and the capital budget is about 900 million.
So that's the kind of budget that we're dealing with, members. That's what we are transferring. We're transferring that budget. We're transferring the staff. We're transferring the function. We're transferring obviously all of these issues. They talk at the end of the day to human beings having to be transferred to another department. A point is raised by the PG that talked to a matter of having to make sure that whatever happens, there are not going to be any adverse or the negative adverse impacts on your staffing. Now, that you also have to look into quite closely and monitor as time goes. However, members, the issues have been raised, and we're not going to pretend as if they have not been raised. And they shall then have to be responded to. We are also aware that time shall also come when we are to be dealing with those issues at length. But for now, these are simply the issues that members, equally important, have raised. Policy around supply chain, work not yet finished, but pay having been done away. There are experiences also important, you know, in meetings of this nature. Precisely because we're dealing with our own experiences in the respective constituencies where we come from. Without really having to be a matter of naming and shaming, it becomes important that at times we really do speak to the relevant issues. If we are to say a company, a contractor has done a job without finishing the job already, there was a pay that was handed over to that one respective company by a specific municipality or in a particular municipal area. And it becomes important at times so that we don't speak without having to make any specific reference. It really harasses everybody. So these are the challenges that we're confronted with. And they're not happening in isolation. There is a pattern. A matter has been raised about old infrastructure, and specifically having to mention the areas where the bagger system is mostly found at, in the specific districts that we have in our country. Now, as I said, this is still going to be these are still going to be areas that we'll have to make follow-ups on when the time comes. Either, I think we have a quarterly review that is expected to take place. I would imagine things of this nature will have to be dealing with at that level. So that quarterly review is going to be quite encompassing on the specific areas that we have made reference to. We shall also be expecting the sanitation division within Human Settlement when we do that quarterly review to be present as well. Can I then make the DG to respond to all the issues as raised? I'm sure you have taken notes, and the respective officials shall be attending to those within the Human Settlement. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thanks for the questions. Honourable Chick and I follow a similar pattern to what we have when we presented you before, where I call on some of the officials just to address some aspects of the questions as well. Will that be in order? I will just run through the six questions or the issues raised by the Honourable Members, and then I will just designate some of the officials just to assist me. First of all, dealing with the issues raised by Honourable Kaula, I would ask Mbuelo Chingane or Philip Chalke just to address that issue around contracts and the payment and maybe payments before we've done, if they have any experiences there. But I think that when we talk around those issues, it would be helpful for us if we had specific references to a municipality, a contract, then we can follow it up in a very logical way and make sure that we deal with the issues if there are misdemeanors that are taking place. But thanks for raising it, Honourable Kaula. The issues raised by Honourable Shalembe, particularly around the O&M, which was also raised by Honourable Basson around old infrastructure, as I indicated in my presentation, we do see that as a risk area, and we try to see how we mitigate it, but I can also indicate that we will deal with these issues through three levels. First of all, through the TOSTI, through the IMC on basic services, which has been established by His Excellency the President under the leadership or the chairpersonship of Minister Praveen Gordhan. We will also raise it through the delivery committee that's established for Outcome 9, and also through the collaborative arrangement which we have with the Department of Cooperative Governance, where we deal with the issues of service delivery. So we will take those eight items up there, but I would ask that the member from my support team from the rep from National Treasury, Rika Rida, can just touch on some of the finance, the grant issues, particularly around the point raised, whether we can change the conditions of the mix so that old infrastructure can be dealt with as well. In terms of the point, the other point raised by Honourable Shilembe, which was also, I think, raised by Honourable Balizala, the statistics of where the buckets are being removed, the progress that has been made, that information, Honourable Chair, is available, and we can provide it through the Secretariat. Human Settlements will assist us in making that information available, and I'm sure Nasambulela Changane will touch on that as well if he can, when he talks. Honourable Maluleke, I will give you the assurance that we will make sure that projects aren't delayed, and as I indicated in the presentation, that's our intention to make sure that it's a seamless process, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The issue raised by Honourable Makondo around the staff problems, we take note of the issue raises on the experience we have with the transfers to municipalities. I do believe that in terms of a national department, national department, some of those issues that we dealt with at the local government level, we shouldn't experience those yet. But thanks for raising it, and we'll make sure that we just flag those issues as we move forward. The issue raised by Honourable Balunzela around the MIC, the returning of funds, and also I'll just ask National Treasury to respond there. I think one of the second points that was raised by Honourable Balindada was outstanding cases. I'm assuming that's around disciplinary cases, but I can confirm, Honourable Chair, that through the order that we're doing on the staff files, the process of dealing with disciplinary cases is in hand, and there's a requirement that no disciplinary case falls through the cracks as you move from one department to the other. Honourable Basson, the LIC funds utilised for old infrastructure, I'll ask National Treasury to respond there, but I can just indicate also that the municipal water infrastructure grant, when that was developed and the framework was put together, that framework in those 24 identified district municipalities under the MWIC, we do also include O&M and refurbishment of infrastructure, but that's, that type of condition needs to be considered in our other grant programs, and we currently, when we have our MDF engagements with National Treasury next week, we'll also engage with them around the RBIC program, but National Treasury can comment on those as well. So if I could just ask Honourable Chair for Ms. Changane and Marita just to come in on the finance, or where there's Philip, I don't know whether it'll be you, and just come in on the program and the treasury issues. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think there are three questions that are directed to us, to your settlements. Let me start with the first question about the buckets. Where are the buckets? What we've done, we've classified the number of buckets in the country into two categories. We've broken it down into two categories, and that is buckets in established townships or informal townships, and buckets in informal settlements. The biggest number of buckets in formal townships is in three provinces. It's Free State, it's Northern Cape, and it's Eastern Cape. And that is why we started prioritizing those three provinces in the last financial year. We talked to Treasury, and we asked Treasury to assist us to prioritize those three provinces. In the Free State, Eastern Cape, and Northern Cape, the figure that we had in 2010 is plus minus 88,000 buckets, but we will provide that information, the exact number of buckets in the three provinces, but it's around 88,000 buckets. In the informal settlements, that's where the magnitude of the problem is this, in most informal settlements. And there we're chasing a moving target. We were talking about a figure of plus minus 200,000 buckets, and again we will provide the exact figure of buckets in formal settlements. What we did, because there was no budget for bucket eradication specifically, there was no earmarked or ring-fenced budget for bucket eradication. It was always budgeted from the municipal capital grant or it will be managed as part of MIC or as part of the equitable share that goes to municipalities. And that amount is significant. The only challenge is that it doesn't get prioritized. So we agreed with Treasury last year that we'll top slice 5% of the 19 billion rand housing development grant, what we call the housing money. If you look at the capital budget for market eradication, you'll notice that we're talking about 1.9 billion rand there. And that 1.9 billion rand is top sliced like, over 2 years. It's top sliced from the housing development grant. And we agreed with Treasury that we will top slice this housing development grant. And we will run this program for 2 years. After 2 years, that 1.9 billion rand has to go back into the housing development grant, into the housing money. Because that's where it comes from. It comes from the housing grant. And that was our agreement with Treasury, and I think it's stated as well in the Division of Revenue Act. The intention was to make sure that we prioritize market eradication in formal townships, and we prioritize market eradication in informal townships. The public finance principle is very clear on these things, that when you move functions, the funds are follow functions. That's the public finance principle, that the funds will follow the function. So if you move the function, the operational budget will move with that function, and the capital budget will move with that particular function. That's what we're trying to do here. But after 2 years, the budget allocation program is expected to come to an end as it stands. We will continue with target eradication, but my assumption is that it will be mainstreamed into the existing programs. What we wanted to do is to be focused for 2 years and deal with targets in these areas. About the contracts, the payment of contractors, I guess we will have to be a little bit more specific about this one, where exactly it's happening. Our modus operandi, our model, our implementation model, is very clear on this. We, in the last 3 years, we have categorized the rural household infrastructure grant. Let me talk about the two grants as a Schedule 6 grant, which means it is an indirect grant. We are implementing it ourselves. And we've used implementing agencies such as Mvula and IGT to drive the implementation of the grant for us. And their repayment was always based on the milestone, and we had to create a complete asset register at the end of the day. That asset register will be audited by the Auditor General. Last week, we had a meeting with the Auditor General and to discuss the asset register. Because it is Schedule 6 grant, so it means that we have to be directly involved in the creation of that asset register. And we have created that asset register. There were some hiccups with some of the implementing agencies trying to reconcile the financial and the non-financial targets. But we managed to get it right. Where you notice here that there are two components in the grant. There is an indirect component and there is a direct component. The direct component is dispersed directly to the municipalities. In other words, municipalities will be appointing the developers, or they will be appointing the contractors themselves who will be building all of these structures. All that we do, we hold them accountable. Every quarter, we look at the performance and we look at the expenditure. We try and reconcile both the financial and the non-financial tracts in those municipalities. That's what we do. The other component, which is about 65 million rand, that is implemented by us, and we've taken a decision that we'll use the market eradication implementing agencies for this particular component. I need to state this here that Treasury and Parliament, in fact, there's a letter that was written to us by the Minister of Finance cautioning us that they are not encouraging the utilization of government entities as implementing agencies. And that letter was written last month by Minister Nene, that we need to find a different approach.
That's a bit of a point.
I'm saying that we received a letter from Treasury a month ago from Minister of Finance cautioning the department, asking us not to utilize the government entities as implementing agencies for bargaining eradication or for any other program. for that matter. We tried to explain why it is important for us to use the government implementing agency, but they have stated the risk associated with the condition of government. Some of the entities are not really financially viable, and some of the entities, because we pay the maximum payment, we may be putting undue pressure on the finances of some of these entities. The treasury approach, the preferred approach is that we need to utilize the market players, go out to the market and use the entities that are out there in the market to implement this project. You need to check out your procurement processes to deal with this. But we have agreed on how we are going to manage that transition, and then we will discuss that in the work streams that the acting DG has talked about. But in terms of payment of contractors, we have not paid upfront. I think where we have only paid upfront, it was in respect of IDT, and that was in 2012, if my memory serves me well, but that was linked to certain milestones that we expected IDT to deliver on the ground, and we have reconciled that, I think it was 33 million rand that was paid to IDT, and we have reconciled it, and we are very confident that the zero for money there, and the zero was created on ground. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to, before I respond to this, just clarify Mr. Changana's statement around the use of public entities as service providers in the implementation of indirect grants. The late Committee on Appropriations, in its passing of the Division of Revenue Act, had requested that the National Treasury should ensure that public entities are not used in the implementation of indirect grants. So the request, the letter from the Minister of Finance to the Minister of Human Settlements, was in relation to the recommendation from the Committee on Appropriations. Because we knew that the three ministers in the IMC around public allocation had decided to use these public entities as implementation agents, we had asked those ministers to please help us respond to the Committee on Appropriations. What do we tell the Committee on Appropriations, who's saying that we should ensure this doesn't happen? So that is where that comes from. In relation to the questions raised by honourable members, I'm going to start with the simplest one, which is around returning funds to the National Revenue Fund. The Division of Revenue, Section 22 in the 2014 Division of Revenue Act, and it is a similar clause in previous Division of Revenue Acts, states quite clearly that any unspent conditional allocations, so all unspent conditional grant allocations, would revert back to the National Revenue Fund unless the ceding officer is able to show that the funds are committed to identifiable projects. So when money comes back, it's because the municipality or a province is unable to show us that the funds are committed to identifiable projects. We have had cases where funds have been rolled over. So if a receiving officer was able to show us that the funds were committed to identifiable projects, they got to keep the money, and it got to be appropriated either through the justice budget, depending on which sits either at the provincial level or through the adjusted municipal budget. The issues around the use of the municipal infrastructure grant for refurbishment, rehabilitation, replacement of ailing infrastructure is actually quite simple, because by nature, rehabilitation or the replacement of infrastructure is capital funding, is capital investment, and the municipal infrastructure grant is a capital grant. So one of the clauses, and I'm reading this from the conditional grant framework for the municipal infrastructure grant in the 2014 Division of Revenue Act, is that funds can be used for new or upgrading of municipal bulk or connected services to support formalization of settlements, subject to the compliance of state policies on a condition that pre-2001 backlog has been addressed. So funds in MIC can be used for the replacement of infrastructure, just because by nature it's capital investment. The issue around operations and maintenance is a little bit more complex, because operations and maintenance of infrastructure to low-income households is paid for through the equitable share, through local government equitable share. So municipalities who provide services and who operate those services to households usually get compensated for it in that way. But like my colleague has stated, sometimes they municipalities don't always prioritize operations and maintenance of infrastructure services. However, the National Treasury, together with SALGA, the FSC, the Presidency, and the Department of Corporate Governance, is currently doing a review of local government infrastructure grants. And this is a recurring thing that pops up within that review. So one of the outcomes of the review might be that we have a very different-looking local government infrastructure grant system where some of these issues will be addressed. We're currently in the middle of the process. I think the Minister of Finance has committed us to the 2015 budget for this. So that is currently happening. The Department of Water Affairs are all transferring offices of local government conditional grants, infrastructure grants, are part of the review, and we're dealing with it in that manner. Thank you, Chair.
Clearly, what is happening there is that by the sound responses that came through, we ask you to come back to the issues. What is also very clear is that we also need to address an issue about planning. Planning, you are to talk about a human settlement department that builds a settlement area. On that one specific unit, the issues of water, sanitation, electricity, you name them. For whatever reason, people find themselves willing to put up settlements wherever, for whatever reason. But as and when that happens, we equally need to be very much alive to those realities. They don't knock on your door, obviously, indicating that they are coming to settle at times. As a result, you now have to be prepared for such. They don't knock on your door. But this is an issue that you will have to deal with going forward. We'll also have to deal with that particular issue raised about whether or not to use methods or government entities. We had a discussion in the committee wherein we were very much emphatic on a need for a very strong public works department. That issue talks to a need for us to really define, if not redefine, the role of public works department. If you were asked to come up with issues of that nature, where in the clearly contradictory statements within same government, that also talks to this very concern. By right, public works department must come in. There must not be any thought that talks to a need for service providers out there in the marketplace that must come on board by right. And there's a history to this. Without exposing anyone's age here, somebody was telling me that in the 70s and the 60s, somebody among us here, that public works would have been involved in practically implementing. Now, only, if I'm not mistaken, post-90s, with our new democracy, that we now have to tender. You also learn all these grades, grade 1, not grade 5, grade 9, This all has to do with tendering processes and system that we have currently. But as I said, members, these are the issues that we'll have to follow up. I imagine closest is going to be our quarterly review. We have scheduled on our program that the Auditor General shall have to come and brief us and prepare us for that quarterly review. I think this is something that takes place when we come back in the next second term, so to speak. I'm not sure if including the matter related to MIG fund, whether or not they can, I'm sure the response does satisfy a number of us. But quite important is some of the issues that have been raised about refocusing some of those funds from those grants in municipalities. Funds that shall have been earmarked for water having to find themselves in something else. These are some of the issues as part of our oversight work, together with COPTA, we shall have to make follow-ups on. Whether or not there are any monies turned back to National Treasury, these are the details that should constitute the greater element of our own oversight work. I'm not sure if numbers we are fine with the report thus far. We are okay. Thanks for that. Let's thank the DG and your team, Tim Worth and Tim Sanitation from Human Settlement. That assists us. The second item on our agenda are our minutes. You are most welcome to remain with us. We will do two things now, members. We will do the adoption of minutes. Fortunately, we have 1 pair of minutes. And secondly, we shall take through the program for adoption. Now, unfortunately, we left all of these two things precisely because leaving here, coming Thursday, tomorrow, so to speak, we shall only be expected back on the 19th of March. By the time we come back on that 19th, we shall be expected to be rushing straight to work. You are most welcome to sit if you so wish. So democratic decisions that you must take in your own meeting, in your own head. Okay, members, let's go straight to the minutes. I must say, members, that we are very fortunate, we are a very efficient team. Administratively, we are on top of things. Usually you would have heard in some other experiences. Minutes taking back from 2 months, 3 months at times. The minutes are also very short. If one talks about, we all do have minutes, couple of minutes. This is a minute of the 9th of July, just before the EPDs. Please, sir, are we fine? Page 2. Owing the committee that feedback, frankly speaking, it slipped my mind, I must be honest. And with the number of things happening in the PEC, ETC processes. So can I promise that in our next meeting for sure, I shall have contact the committee on this one. be transferred. So you're talking here of a period of your midterm budget review that shall take into account all those relevant issues. So if you like, therefore, for now, we are still talking about water. But there is nothing that stops us from engaging with the sanitation. It is clear that now sanitation is on board as water and sanitation department. So all of these issues, we are going to be pursuing them parallel, all these processes. We are not going to be waiting for that time formally. Now the budget is now with water and sanitation. All of these, we are going to be chasing them parallel, all of these are processes. Okay, members, clearly this is a draft that is before us. When looking at our program and our minutes, on page 2, part of what we resolved was that we need to make a follow up on that acid mine drainage. I did ask the committee secretariat to make copies of the report of the oversight visit that took place by the previous committee. Did we all receive those minutes, or rather that report? Did you all receive the report? The report by the previous committee that visited Gauteng and Northwest, if I'm not mistaken, on acid drainage, on acid mine drainage. If I may say that, members, we are still very early into the year. And there's still to be a lot of documentation that must follow. So if we can forget now as the year begins, how much more when we are in the middle of everything. Anyway, that report will be made available to members again. Now, I was mentioning that because when we are to say we are going to go to on an oversight visit to that acid drainage management, acid mine drainage, it also must mean that we must have looked into that report. That report, among others, it instructs the department to do certain things. Maybe DG, if you don't mind, whether you did respond to those recommendations. Those will be most welcome for us as we go into the oversight. We're trying to be smarter and faster. That's what those are the kind of messages I heard when some political parties were campaigning. I don't know which political party, but I heard words like smarter and faster in service delivery. Part of that smartness must talk to us going to any oversight visit prepared with relevant information so that we are cleverer. I know you are clever, but we are cleverer now when going out there. So those two reports are going to assist us. Both that report of the committee that went there, led by Jonathan, Johnny Tangi, and also the report in response by the department to that report. This is one area that we've noted for us when arriving in Johannesburg. We mentioned that if we can have two of those visits, oversight visits, We did not conclude on the second one. She's caring about you, Frank.
Thank you, sir. We have decided to visit acid mine drainage central basin in Jameson and then I sent a request to the department to identify another one close by, but I had also decided on another one, which is in Meyerton, which is the construction of the wastewater treatment plant.
You hear the
money?
Mr.
Money
is very clear. He decided that we must go those two areas. He used that word twice. He decided. I've decided to. Are we fine with our decision numbers? You're fine. Papa Pajan.
He's still confident. He's not confused.
Yeah. Suppose you're like that. Then you are lucky, no? What about Matibe? Is everything right there now?
Nothing is
right there.
The problem with Madureng is not in Gauteng, so it's
not in press. It's 1 hour.
Yeah, but we will be on the other side of Gauteng, so
press is 1 hour. Babukal.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not having a problem with the decision which has been taken already, but I would advise that in future the researcher must consult with the chairperson. I should think that would be much easier. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, yes.
Well, just like that, at the moment in Maribeng, in both the plants, the press plant and the recontent plant, clean sewers running into the river, there's no chlorine added to the water. The overflow in Riefontein is going in, and the E. coli level 2 weeks ago on Riefontein was 820,000 per 100 milliliters, and in Brazil 150,000 in the sewer treatment plants. The water purification plant is fine at the moment. Randall is still busy there, but on the sewer plants on both of them, is critical at the moment.
I would insist that you go to Madiba. Effectively, Madiba is within the north part of Pretoria, which is part of Brad. That's your constituency, Norman.
And mine.
So you're working together there? Mama?
And my business.
Yours as well? Oh, you are in KZN? Oh, okay. For that very reason raised by Mr. Pascon, Uva Bukalo, to an extent, maybe so that we are not, if you are to say water treatment plants in Germiston, that other one. Yes, I know you would have wanted to say more, but what we have seen on TV, what we have heard, you know, the challenges there. You see, what also this oversight was to those assist, you know, speeding up of any service delivery or speeding up of any remedial activity expected of that particular area. Maybe it shall assist us if we do go to Madibeng. Babun Pajan, what would your wisdom tell us?
I'll support this. Hopefully, there will be another visit to Kenya.
we certainly will have spread these visits throughout the country. To an extent that we do our thing, as and when we come back, if we can take that 1 week and then go out in the field and identify those respective areas accordingly in that, so to speak. I will find Babu Shem.
Thank you. I think I am covered that we must look to the entire country, not specific to provinces. Otherwise, those who do not have members sitting in this committee may suffer. But if we say we're looking to polls throughout the country, thank you.
Okay. Can we then, in that regard, go through the draft itself? This is the second term that begins on the 19th, and then we are done on the 10th of September, 19th of August. These are our decisions, if we were to say as well, because this we discussed in our last session. Of course, we must still be able to talk about that workshop and then answer a question as to what does that want to achieve out of that workshop. Then 27th of August, there is that interministerial fasting. Does it not include Public Works Department and local government quota? No. Does it not include the by virtue of the word interministerial, it means there are a number of other ministerial. Does it not include Public Works, quota, water, all of those? What does Department of Health ask that are included in that? No. What we have here is a combination of two things. You are here having interministerial task team. That will have everybody else. I don't know who is that everybody else. Initially, if you remember, we were saying, let's have Public Works and COCTA. What now has happened here is that there is emphasis on water and on COCTA and Public Works, who also might be part of that interministerial task team. Does it make sense now? What I am asking here from Tumani and from the DG is that who constitutes that interministerial task team that looks into service delivery? What are the departments concerned there?
Chair, I'm just going on to the GCIS website just to make sure it give you the right names. Just give me half a minute, I'll be given enough.
Okay, apart from that, in the meantime, members. But it's a straightforward one. These are issues that we have spoken about. The intention there, it is for that task team to brief our committee about what is going on insofar as service delivery is concerned related to water and sanitation. What are the plans? What is happening on the ground, if anything, to be told? So that's what we are saying. Because we want to have a picture of what is going on. Yes, now we are going more like, if you like, blind people, guided. Madi Beng. And the question was raised earlier on from sanitation. Where are the hotspots, so far as sanitation is concerned? That is the question that you're raising there. Now, we have no idea. We have a faint idea, judging from what is on the news from time to time. But we want to have that holistic picture. You're not going to hear anything about global picture, or global this, or global that. I have my own reservations about usage of that. I would rather prefer to talk about, you know, that holistic picture. That's what we want to see out of, or rather hear out of that meeting of the 27th. On the second and third, this is your quarterly review. The AG's office is going to come to us We should not have to talk about the time for that, because some of the members have committee meetings on that day, which is Tuesday 2nd. Is it plenary? On the 2nd.
But is there no time where the decision comes? It's only the week before that. A week before.
Well, I guess we shall have to ask for permission for the day. The time proposed is 2 o'clock. Sorry, that is not after members have attended their own committee commitments.
Yeah,
there is a sitting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Under the Ministry of August, I feel that the Department of Environmental Affairs should be part of the task force because many of the issues that are being discussed are interrelated. For example, when rivers are polluted, this has this touches on environmental issues. So I think that on the 27th, this Environmental Affairs Department must also be part of the request going to come to speak to us. Also with the municipalities must be checked upon because sometimes instead of doing the service delivery, they are busy politicking instead of delivering to the people. Thank you.
That is why the DG will assist us. Whether environment is part of that intermunicipality task team or not. If it is not, it shall be included. All of them. Human settlement, quota, public works, all of them. you shall indicate when you are ready, DG. Then the last date is the 10th of September. Again, we're dealing with a very, very important and a very strategic area. If you can also assist us there, Tomani, with those tariffs and pricing issues in your proof. Not now.
Not now, I want to.
Sorry?
I wanted to lift the department that are involved in the interministerial team.
You have them?
Yes.
Are they the same as...
Yeah, I think it's the same, yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay, but I was not talking about that. I was talking about a proof of the committee on the tariffs and pricing strategy. If you can assist us with a proof on that.
Okay, yeah, I will do
that. Not now.
Yes, okay. No, I will provide that.
Okay. You or Mr. Bowser?
Chair, the departments, Honourable Chair, are chaired by Minister Praveen Gordhan
from cockpits are by default cockpit involved as human settlements, water and sanitation, energy, home affairs, public enterprises, transport, rural development and land affairs, basic education, health, planning, performance monitoring, evaluation and the presidency. I don't see environment as part of that. I only see on basic services. So those are the service delivery task team members.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Okay.
In other words, some work is included. Yeah. Did we hear? Because I don't remember hearing public works.
Public enterprises. Can we
then extend an invitation to public works and also environment? Because the rest is all included in that the ministerial accounting, including human settlements, including all of those COFTA and so on. Are we fine? Okay. Very briefly, I have to go. Oh yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm reminded that we need to formally adopt this program. Any mover?
I propose to present the adopt.
Mr. Papa has moved. Any seconder? Baba Mpocha,
seconder. I second the proposal.
Thank you. Members, let them take care of our program. The last area before we go on research, coming back to the 19th, is okay. So we already received our flight details and also the program itself. Okay, Mrs. Solomon shall very briefly tell us, or Mrs. Ola, one of the two.
Members, I'll be assisted by the lecturer with regards to the logistical arrangement, but essentially the members will be departing tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow around 6 o'clock from Cape Town to Johannesburg. We'll be residing at the Garden Court or Stambul Airport, just 10 minutes away from the Birchwood Hotel. Unfortunately, Birchwood was full booked, so we're staying 10 minutes away from the conference venue. And then we'll return Saturday afternoon. Members will head back to the provinces. Those are the arrangements we've made. If there's any questions, the differences, the flight reservation numbers will be SMS to members most likely during the course of today. So members will get the e-ticket reference numbers during the course of today, and we will also be processing them S&T during the course of today as well. So hopefully members should receive them by tomorrow. If there's any questions, members have our numbers. We are available and we'll be able to assist you anywhere we can.
I just want to check the issue of shuttles when we arrive at the airport to go into the hotel. The shuttles have been arranged. The hotel actually has a shuttle service that will take us from the airport to the hotel and from the hotel to the Birchwood Hotel for the conference. And also tomorrow, there will be a shuttle from Parliament to the airport, but I understand that there are members who are not going to be coming to work tomorrow. I will personally come to members to check where they want to leave from tomorrow, whether from Parliament or from their respective parks. Thank you.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Ms. Baza, you want to say anything? own expectations?
Yeah, Chair, I've been looking forward to having you at the summit, and I think it's an exciting program that we put together, and we look forward to the engagement of the committee within the five parallel sessions that are going to take place over the day and a half, and also participating in the development or the crafting of a summit statement at the end of the sessions on day two. Chair, I think we've got the program, and we look forward to having you there.
Okay, members, I think that's a straightforward one as well. I think we are done for today, not knowing if there is no other thing else. We had received some documents here. What I've asked the secretaries to do for us, going to that summit, I asked her to pull out two sets of documents or reports, if any, so that we are assisted going forward in our work. The one report, if any, is a report that talks about, we're going for the summit now, whether there have been any summits in the past 5 years, in other words, in the past 10. The unfortunate part is that all of us here are new in this committee. Whether there has been any summit or ndaba or hearing. I know there has been a hearing on the water resources strategy. We've got number two on that one. That would be on water and also on sanitation. Not knowing what was coming, I think it was yet before last when I would have been receiving through my emails, you know, invitation to attend World Toilet Congress. Not knowing what was coming my way. That was 2 years ago when Manchal had been receiving all those updates about the World Toilet Congress. It was in Durban 2 years ago. Probably if you can have that report as well of what transpired. These are all past documents. Okay, what the committee secretary has done, they have managed to compile those reports, including the one on World Toilet Congress. People are busy out there. People are very, very busy. The one at the Congress about toilets. I think the reports shall reach our pigeonholes if there are cops here. Members shall receive those. Let's thank and look forward to the summit itself and enjoy the recess whilst working until we meet at the summit. Unfortunately, Mr. Mguni won't be joining us. Let's get to hear from the Commons Secretariat about the details about Mguni's sister's funeral. For some of us who can make it, I think that would be most appreciated. Failing which, we shall have to circulate a card, a sympathy card, that we all shall have to sign. The Commons Secretariat shall assist us with that regard. Let's receive that when we meet at the summit itself.
Okay, thank you very much for the evening, and thank you very much for the way you are really personalized. And I really admit masterful insight to the
I'm still learning it. And therefore, I really appreciate that you keep on putting us more on track. Thank you very much. Yeah. And I apologize to the members.
I'm much appreciated, members. Thanks for that, member. Members, I think we are done. We have finished much earlier. And all the best until we meet on Friday or on Thursday, tomorrow for this week. Meet in the tent.